Hi, I'm Katie.
And I'm Coley.
Welcome to the SVU Coven podcast, Little Witch Detectives.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm just really excited because I'm wearing our merch. I don't know if you guys can see, it might come through backwards, but it says, listen to the SVU Coven podcast. It's the first sample I got. So I'm really excited about that.
It's so exciting.
I don't know why, I just feel giddy. I'm like, yay. But
I had a dream about you getting our merch like 2 nights ago.
really,
Yeah.
I knew I was gonna get it this week, but I didn't want to tell you in case I didn't, because I wanted to surprise you with it today. And
Yeah.
then literally, I think it got here yesterday, but I received it today because I checked the mail.
Yeah.
But it's so cute. It's so soft. All of our stuff is on our merch website that I'll talk about later, but we have up to 2X, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I
And
got
some things, I
this.
think in other things, we have up to bigger sizes.
Yeah. This one's the cropped hoodie. But I got it too big, so it wouldn't technically be cropped. So yeah, super
Yay.
exciting. Should we jump into things?
Yes.
Cool. So this is our Witch Talk. It's the corner of the intro of our show where we catch you guys up on what we've been doing. I always laugh because Coley and I generally talk. I don't know what you're gonna share today, but generally talk all the time. So it's more for you guys than it is for us, but we're excited to share it with you. What have I been up to? Oh, I got a job. I
Yay.
signed my offer letter and I started this week. It's been really fun, but also kind of boring. Which I guess is what stability feels like. Not that I'm stable in any sense of the word, but like a stable, non-crazy startup job
Yeah.
where they've already got everything in place and already do everything themselves, and I'm not like scrambling.
Yeah.
So it's been nice, but that's about all that's going on with me. I haven't really done anything overly exciting lately. But yeah, what's going on with
Yeah.
you?
Well, I I'm losing my health insurance on July 31st
What?
because they asked for a profit and loss statement because I was self-employed when I was contracting earlier this
Yeah.
year. And I didn't send it in on time, apparently, even though the request for it didn't have a due date. And I got the letter like right after my birthday party, and they were like, yeah, sorry. Like, oh,
What?
thanks.
So, did you have government health insurance, or we can talk about this later if you want, but
Yeah.
okay. And is that what you guys do at the golf course too?
They don't offer health insurance through the golf course.
Shoot.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we can talk about it later. I'll help.
Yeah.
I'll.
But other than that, I've been watching, and Just Like That, and Peter was on it last week
Oh, right. I remember.
as a guy named George, who was supposed to be Carrie's love interest for the episode, and that didn't go over so well, but
We love Peter, though.
yes, we love Peter.
That makes me want to go watch Younger,
Yeah.
because I like him in that a lot.
Yeah,
But,
his character was pretty funny and just like that.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I think that Peter and Mariska are hilarious, and I wish that you could see that more in the roles that they play.
Yeah.
But they always play rather serious people. But they're both funny to me. Every time I see them, even interacting with each other is funny.
Yeah.
But we love people.
And yeah, I've been watching a lot of Smosh. So I've been laughing a lot. Because
Smosh
Smosh is
is back.
hysterical. Smosh is back.
Yeah, you know
Anthony
my.
officially rejoined.
Yeah, and they rebought it back. So my cousin actually bought Smosh for the interim, and they just bought it back from him and his business partner. And I think that's really cool. It feels like we're reverting back to like 20 years, 20, 10 years ago,
Wait
YouTube.
a minute. Hold on. Hold on. Are
What?
you related to Rhett and Link?
Just Rhett. Rhett's mom is my great aunt, so he's my great cousin.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so Rhett was my mom's cousin before she passed away. So
That's really awesome.
yeah, they're cute. But yeah, it's really cool. I've been watching like all this Smosh stuff come back up, and it feels like 10, 15 years ago
Yeah.
all of a sudden. And I'm like, oh, YouTube's coming back. Oh, but
But yeah, that's all I've been up to.
that's fun stuff, though.
Yeah.
All right, well.
And I have been following our next topic very closely, which is the SAG-AFTRA strike. I started writing for a magazine startup. I don't know if I mentioned that on our last podcast or
I think
not,
you did, but
but I started writing for this magazine startup, and I actually wrote an article about the SAG WGA strike. So I've been really invested in this, and learned what SAG stands for. Well, what SAG-AFTRA stands for.
It's one of those things that I feel like directly, we've talked about this before, but I feel like it, for you and I, it directly affects us in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
From the fandoms we're in to the business, the podcast, to like just our careers as writers.
Yeah.
It's, and it just continues to get crazier. I have seen a lot of people out there with signs and stuff though during
Yeah.
the most. So there, to me, there's like beauty in it of how like as a community we're all coming together and
Yeah.
raising our voices and
That's
trying to.
one thing that we have that the studios don't have, and that's solidarity.
Yeah. My brother and I were just talking. There's Dex
Dex.
making an appearance. My brother and I were talking about it earlier. Just the way the world is going and what careers will look like for writers in the future. And I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm stressed all the time. It's already hard enough to like have a career in this field.
It really is.
Yeah. So stress. Are there some places you can go to like donate or do research and stuff? I haven't looked into that.
There are. You can donate to the entertainment. What is it? The entertainment.
Alliance? Words?
Entertainment Community Fund.
Okay.
That helps actors and writers who are struggling to pay their rent to pay their rent. So that way, the whole. We're going to keep it going until October when writers have been out of work for 5 months and can't pay their rent and lose their houses.
Well.
Nameless studio exec said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, it just feels never ending, but if you can help, please.
Yes, donate to the Entertainment Community Fund. You can follow WGA East, Writers Guild West, and SAG-AFTRA on Instagram to keep in the loop with all that information. Adam Conover has been doing a really good job covering this. So has Under the Desk News, especially from an influencer standpoint, because there are a lot of things that influencers can and can't do now that SAG-AFTRA is on strike. We're good. I've looked into it. What we do is good. We're not scabbing the strike, so.
I might put together a post for our Instagram as well with some resources for you guys. I keep thinking about that Ice-T tweet, but I can't remember exactly what he said. But like a couple days before, he was like, I feel like something's about to go down. And then they went on strike. But well, it's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Should we go on to something happy really quick?
Yes.
Happy belated birthday to Dean Winters. Yeah. I love that you gave me this in the notes. Because I love Dean Winters so much.
I know.
Also did not realize he's a Cancer.
Yep.
That makes a lot of sense. In a good way. But like, oh my gosh, that's so cute. So how old is he? I didn't even look it up either.
I should have.
I want Dean Winters to come back.
Yeah, me too.
For you in particular. Not necessarily to be with Olivia, but just to be back. I miss him. I'm looking up his birthday real quick. Wow. 1964. So he's 58?
59.
Oh my goodness. Big birthdays.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Dean Winters. We love you.
Yes, we do.
Come be on the podcast.
Yes. So in not so happy news, SVU, the Law and Order franchises, and the One Chicago shows have all been removed from the NBC fall lineup. They have been switched to mid-season dramas. And this is all direct. This is all in direct relation to the strikes.
Yeah. So they're all on strike at the moment. So obviously they're not filming. Which means that they're not coming back for the moment. Big sad.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I guess there's hope, right?
Yeah. Right now they're mid-season. So we're going to get the season either way. It's just going to be mini.
Yeah.
But what is replacing SVU and One Chicago shows and Law and Order and all that is quite interesting, because Magnum PI is going to be replacing the One Chicago shows with new episodes. So I don't know how they're doing that without scabbing the strike.
Right.
They can't. They can't.
Well. I'm so ready for like something positive to happen.
Me too.
And even like in the editorial side of things, the layoffs are getting crazy. If people aren't unionizing and striking, the layoffs just never end.
Yeah.
So it just kind of stinks all the way around. But we'll keep you updated as we learn things. And by we, I mean Coley.
Yes.
And occasionally me. But we will definitely keep y'all updated on this stuff.
Yeah.
Luckily, we are only in season 3 on our podcast. So we do have a lot of content.
Very true.
Speaking of our podcast and what I was talking about earlier, you guys can buy our merch. Look at it. It's so cute for our visual podcasters, witch detectives. It's so cute. It's on Fourth Wall. We'll have a link on our social medias, as well as in the podcast notes, all of that stuff. All the money goes to Fourth Wall and to us, and we use it to put it back into the show. So if you guys want to order something, please do. It's the softest thing in the world. I love it. My next one is going to be the Maloney of It All tea mug, because yeah. I just think that makes so much sense. So
yes.
It's on Fourth Wall. We'll have a link for you guys. And that said, while I'm rolling, if you don't follow us on social media and you would like to, we are on Instagram at SVU Coven. We post updates there, memes, all the good stuff. You can find us over there. While you're over there, you can tap the link in our bio and it will take you to everything SVU Coven, but also to a link to our Discord server. I finally beefed it up after so long talking about it, and I really like it. It would be nice if we could grow a little bit over there. You can talk to us one-on-one about anything related to the coven. We like it over there, I suppose. So come join us, be our friend. We would love to have you. If social media is not really your thing, it's not a medium that speaks to you, feel free to shoot us an email at svucoven@gmail.com. Likewise, if you're interested in being on the show, sponsoring the show, have questions for us, anything related to the show itself, email's the best place to reach us. Coley does check the email, so somebody is reading them and will respond as quickly as we can.
Yes.
And that's svucoven@gmail.com.
Yes. And this is your episodic reminder to rate, review, subscribe, and comment. Rating and subscribing are the most important things. They tell the algorithm that you like us and that they will then promote us to other people who will hopefully listen to us, like us, and do the same thing. Reviewing is just really nice. We lost all our reviews when we switched podcast hosts. So we miss them. And we will read them out on the podcast. Good, bad, and different. Commenting is something new because we are on YouTube. So any comments that you leave, we'll read out on the podcast. Good, bad, and different. We just appreciate the energy exchange. And also, like on YouTube.
Smash that like button.
Yes.
So, also, what I was gonna say something about YouTube. Oh, I'm the only one that comments.
Yeah.
And so I was going to say, if you guys do go in there and comment, you'll see me on there, and feel free to tag me if you want to start a conversation over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that everything?
Yeah. You can get into the self-love affirmation now.
Fun.
This self-love affirmation comes from CoStar. I only use CoStar for the little sayings that it gives out every day. I don't use CoStar for anything astrology related.
Let it be known.
Let it be known. And this was actually today's little saying. Because I looked at it at like midnight last night. And yeah, so it says, all of us have a thirst for connection. And I really like this one because we are social beings, right? We all want that connection. And it's important. It's important for our mental health.
Yeah.
And we're all about mental health here.
We really are.
So if you're not driving, take a second and close your eyes. If you're driving, keep your eyes open. We don't want any accidents. And just meditate on that for a minute. Take a few deep breaths, even if you are driving a car. Remember to breathe. Yeah.
Just remember to breathe.
Remember to breathe.
I was just thinking about this as a concept, actually, because I've been watching Too Hot to Handle on Netflix. Stupid, terrible television. Do not watch it unless you are a reality show person like I am. But they were talking about how since they're not allowed to kiss or touch each other in any kind of like affectionate way on the show, how they lose this like connection with one another, and they have to figure out how to build emotional connections before physical into their relationships. And I was thinking about how, in general, we crave those types of connections being in like the human experience. And I think that's it's very interesting to me, but also just so relevant. I feel like, with the strikes and everything, having this like connection and community is so special. Being a human is weird.
Definitely.
Don't recommend.
No. Are we ready to get into our summary?
Think so.
Okay. When arriving party guests find a prominent doctor murdered and his wife sexually assaulted. Crap. The investigation starts with his estranged son and a former patient, then moves on to his mistress and her neighbor. Okay. Hopefully you two won't kill us for that slip of the
Oh, it's
tongue.
fine. It's
Two couples come to an apartment. Oh, we're getting into the episode now, and we're reacting to season 3, episode 5 today, Tangled.
not
So,
the
not the
movie.
movie, the episode of SVU, Tangled.
A good
Okay.
one.
Yeah, it is. Two couples come to an apartment and hear a glass breaking. They come into an apartment and hear a glass breaking. They're looking for Peyton and Max. One suggests it may be a burglar, and the two men wield the wine bottles that they're carrying as weapons. They walk through the apartment and come to see Max duct taped to a chair, bloody and Peyton tied up half naked with duct tape on her mouth. Elliot and Olivia respond. They find out the two couples were there to set up a surprise party for Peyton, but Max and Peyton likely never left, as they missed their reservation at 8. Max got a front row seat to watch his wife be essayed, and she got to watch him be beaten to death. The perp made himself a sandwich after the attack. The glass breaking was, or the glass breaking that the quartet heard was a beer bottle. He got spooked when the four came into the apartment. I put brownstone because I was thinking it was a brownstone at first. And I went back and changed to apartment, but yeah, kept brownstone there. I don't know why. Olivia tells the text to bring the sandwich to the lab to test for saliva and bite marks. Elliot says they'll want to bring the birthday cake in the fridge that is ruined, part of it missing, presumably eaten, to the lab too.
Now I want cake.
Yeah.
Done.
And then we done.
Done.
Melinda lists off the injuries that Max suffered and says that their perp had a real problem with the way he looked. He was pistol whipped multiple times. Melinda asks if the perp had a gun, why he didn't just shoot Max. Olivia says something like, where would the fun in that be? Melinda pinpoints the exact gun based on the grip pattern and printed on Max's skin. Melinda found dog or cat hair in the adhesive in the duct tape. Peyton explains how the perp got in. Max took out the garbage before they left, and he came back in, and a man in a ski mask had a gun to his head. Peyton recalls that the perp was average height and weight, and then describes the attack. Elliot asks what was in the lockbox that was broken into. Peyton says just some cash, 10 or 15,000. The way she says that makes it sound like she's saying $10 or $15.
Yeah. Do you know how life changing 10 or 15,000? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine. In her jewelry box was her grandmother's jewelry. Bah.
Words.
Words are hard. Elliot says they'll need her to describe the pieces to a sketch artist. Elliot asks Peyton if the perp said anything that made her think that he knew the couple. Peyton says that he didn't say a word. Munch and Finn go to talk to the doorman of the apartment building. Munch accuses the doorman of giving burglars keys to apartments that were robbed. The doorman says that someone came looking for Max, the doctor, and he wasn't happy. Said the doctor was a mad scientist who ruined his life. Ellie and Olivia go to St. Paul's Hospital looking for the chief of urology. Max was a urologist. The receptionist, Lara, says that he'd be down in a few minutes and says that she still can't believe Max was murdered. Dr. Carr, chief of urology, comes down and he and Ellie and Olivia walk and talk. Max specialized in sexual disorders. There we go.
Remember back in the day, the OG SVU Coven days, we were like, oh my gosh, we need merch that says, I don't know how to talk, or yeah, something like that.
We need to make merch that says, I don't know how to talk, or words are hard, or something along hard. Those lines. So Max specialized in sexual disorders, incontinence, penile implants, and impotence. Max was running a clinical trial for an ED cream, erectile dysfunction cream. And
not an eating disorder cream?
No. ED has so many meanings that, like,
it
I
really
wanted
does.
To clarify.
Mm-hmm. I saw Jessie Page. Do you know who that is?
Yes.
The influencer. She posted something the other day because she's posts a lot of recovery content for eating disorders. And she posted something the other day using ED, and somebody commented on it and they were like, wait, you have erectile dysfunction? And she was like, literally, no.
Oh my goodness.
We need better acronyms.
Yeah. One of Max's patients wasn't too happy with the cream. But Dr. Carr can't comment on the case because of HIPAA or because it was a legal case. One of the two, he said it's their policy not to comment on either. He does say that the participants in the trial were out of options from the beginning. Back at the squad room, Wong is talking to Craig and Munch and Finn, says their perp shows all the outward signs of being a sadist. He felt in complete control and enjoyed inflicting pain on Payne and Max. Wong brings up sensory deprivation. Payne and Max need clues as to how they could survive, and the perp didn't give them any, increasing the terror. Olivia walks into the squad room with Martin's file. Martin was the disgruntled patient, both from the clinical trial and police records. He was enrolled in the clinical trial until the 12th week when he was arrested by Brooklyn SVU for attempted SA. Munch and Finn go to talk to Martin and get his alibi. He was in group therapy. They talk to him about how he spent 6 months in prison for attempted SA and assault and battery. Martin said all Max had to do was say that it was the cream, not him. But he wouldn't. Instead, he lied and said Martin had violent tendencies. He sued the hospital and the drug company, but not Max, because as it turns out, Max didn't have a penny to his name. Munch and Finn then go visit Max's CPA or accountant, who suggested that Max move everything into Payne's name because Max had a heart condition, and even before his bypass, no medical malpractice insurance would cover him. So moving everything into Payne's name protected his assets. Max had a son from his first marriage that he had to cut off and terminate his trust fund the week prior because he was caught breaking into the co-op and attempting to steal Payne's jewelry. Ellie and Olivia go out to the Hamptons. I put question marks because I'm not exactly sure it's the Hamptons, but I'm pretty sure it's the Hamptons.
It do be like that.
Yeah. To question Payne about Jesse, Max's son, and she's adamant that he didn't do it, but Ellie and Olivia are trying to get her to see that it's possible. Munch and Finn go to the dorms and go through Jesse's dorm while his roommate is admonishing them for violating Jesse's civil liberties. Munch asks if Jesse isn't snorting his family fortune where it's going to. And that leads Munch and Finn to the horse track where they pick Jesse up, trying to place a bet. The window operator sees Munch and asks Jesse for ID. He refuses and gets so mad he's banging on the window. Back to the squad room. Jesse is in interrogation, and Cragen said that he understands drugs, but the ponies. He asked if Wong really sees that leading to SA and possible homicide and homicide. Wong says that if he's a compulsive gambler, he lacks impulse control. Elliot argues that he's 18. Wong says that kids even younger have gambling problems,
especially today with like apps and stuff. This next line is kind of humorous to me.
Me too. Wong asks Elliot if he gambles, and Elliot responds only with birth control. I love that line.
It's so funny. And then if you put it in context with the Stabler family, how many damn kids do they got?
Like, at this point, four. But
they just pop them out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. And also, they're Catholic and white, and he also is a veteran, and it's just so layered and so funny.
Yeah. Elliot and Olivia to interrogate Jesse. He says he got started through his family because his mother and stepmother were both charity junkies. And the biggest fundraising tactic is casino night. It started there, then with poker nights in high school, and then road trips to Atlantic City, where he never had any trouble getting into the casinos. And I put here, I believe it, because my mom and dad got married when my mom was 19. And they went to Atlantic City for their honeymoon. And that's when my mom first started gambling.
Oh.
Partially, they didn't have a problem because of who my grandfather was on my dad's side. But, yeah. I believe it. Atlantic City is, like, corrupt as hell.
Yeah, I've heard.
Jesse's in $100,000 in debt. He got behind with his bookie and then bet $50,000 on the Giants game. Olivia asked why he didn't ask his family for help. Jesse said he did after his dad caught him breaking in, but his dad wouldn't help him because he thought it was drugs. Jesse's attorney breaks up the interview. Jesse's mother called the attorney and is in with Craig. And now, more news, Martin's DNA cleared him. So Marilyn, Jesse's mother, says that Max has been cheating on Peyton and that she told her. Cragen says he needs the list of people he was cheating with. Marilyn says she knows for a fact he was sleeping with his boss's secretary, Lara. EO go to question Lara, who says that she had a fling with Max, but that it ended months ago and they stayed friends. Olivia asked who he was sleeping with at the time of his death. Lara says that they made him sound dirty and that it wasn't like that. He went a little crazy for about a month after his bypass. Elliot asked who he was sleeping with after her. And Lara says someone in radiology. The woman in radiology said that Max cheated on Peyton because she cared too much. In the 2 months that he was recovering, she did everything for him and made him feel like an invalid. The two of them had a weekend-long fling 6 months prior. Then he moved on to a nurse from neonatal, but it was over before anything really happened. Peyton made a surprise visit, called them flirting, and bitch slapped the nurse.
I love that you literally wrote bitch slapped in the notes.
It was what was said in the show, so I just put, yeah.
I know, it's just funny. To see it, like, to see bitch slapped written out is funny to me. Oh, Lord.
Elliot, Olivia, and Munch walk and talk about what Elliot and Olivia found at the hospital. They reach the bullpen of the squad room where Craig and Finn are. They find out that Jesse's DNA cleared him and that Max had about 1,000 minutes on his cell phone with one number belonging to Lara. Craig tells Elliot and Olivia to go talk to her.
If you guys track old technology in SVU like I have been since we started the show,
yeah,
the concept of minutes.
Yes.
What a time we lived in.
Seriously.
Compared to now. Literally what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I couldn't imagine doing this back in the early 2000s.
Have we gotten to 2001 yet?
Yes.
Okay.
We've passed 9/11 at this point.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Ellie and Olivia make their way into Lara's apartment, way to Lara's apartment, where they find fresh blood on the door. And the door open, they enter the apartment and find Lara tied to the bed, her mouth duct taped and presumably essayed. Okay, we're going to take a little break for our spell of the week. This is coming out July 24th. The color of the day is lavender, and the incense of the day is hyssop.
Pretty.
Fires of Creativity Oil. Today, the Sun and Mercury are both in Leo, the sign of the artist and the performer. It's a great time to be creative, to work on a project that's important to you. Creativity is heightened when we're relaxed and not pressuring ourselves. Lavender is a fantastic ally for creativity because it's a mercury-ruled plant that induces relaxation. Fiery sun-ruled cinnamon helps speed things up and blast through blockages, while frankincense helps you tap into your inner realms. You can use any carrier oil, but I recommend almond oil due to it being ruled by Mercury as well. Combine 6 drops of lavender oil, 1 drop cinnamon oil, 4 drops of frankincense oil, 2 drams of almond oil. To be fair, I don't know what a dram is.
To be honest.
To be honest, I don't know what a dram is.
I do not either, but I'm sure it would work regardless of.
I know it's more than a drop. It's probably saying to, like, put enough in a roller bottle that it'll, like, dilute it a little bit.
Also, just for my cat parents out there, lavender is, cats are sensitive to it. So when you're doing things like this, just make sure you're not, like, shoving it in your cat's mouth, you know?
Yes. Dress an orange candle. Orange is the color of Mercury and a secondary color of the sun, with your creativity oil and say, creativity, creativity, come to me with clarity. And that is by Matt Arun.
Pretty.
I think that's how you say his last name.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love the little spell break.
I do too. It's such a good addition to the podcast. Okay. Olivia goes to see Lara in the hospital and asks if she knows who attacked her. Lara says no. Olivia asks her to tell her what happened, and Lara describes the attack. And then Olivia said she has to be straight with her. Lara thinks she's accusing her of making it up, but she clarifies she's talking about Lara seeing Max. Lara said she knew the papers would add that to the story and make Max look sleazy, and he deserved better. That Peyton didn't know until the very end. She came to her apartment and said if she didn't end it with Max, she'd ruin both their lives. And this was 3 days before Max was killed. Olivia goes into Cragen's office, where Elliot, Munch, and Finn are also gathered. She says they may have a problem with Peyton, that she may have set this up. Max and Lara were beaten badly, but she came away with only minor injuries other than being essayed. They can't go back to the crime scene because she can afford high caliber attorneys who will have anything they find thrown out, and they don't have enough for a warrant. Her jewelry hasn't turned up anywhere. The cat hair was found in all of the duct tape, and it all belongs to a tabby. And it's time to get Alex involved. Munch and Finn go to Max and Peyton's bank. The teller is very helpful and wants to know if there's anything more she can do to help. Munch and Finn find that they had a safe deposit box in the bank and ask the teller when the last time anyone was in there. She says Peyton was there a few days before taking out a Tiffany diamond necklace and ring to wear the fire and ice ball the week after. It was going to be their first public outing since Max's surgery. Munch and Finn look at the bank records and see that she took out $10,000 a few days before the attack and wonder if it's enough to get a warrant. Elliot and Olivia execute a warrant on Peyton's apartment looking for the jewelry. Olivia gets preoccupied with their wedding album, which Elliot scolds her for, as the warrant only covers jewelry, so she can't examine anything else. Olivia mentions that Elliot has been married for 17 years, and he says stop, and she says sorry, and he says no, stop looking, and walks out with a cigar box. He moves like some paper off the top, showing the missing jewelry next to the cigars.
Didn't we have an Elliot and Olivia moment a while back that involved cigars? Because I feel like you and I were like, oh my gosh, what if, like, picturing Olivia smoking a cigar.
Probably the first episode.
Is it in the first episode?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Because Elliot says sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. And the uni says, yeah, well, someone cut off his cigar and took it with him. That's the only thing that's coming to mind. And that was around the time where I was like, Olivia smoking a cigar would be really hot.
Yeah. It's true. That's fair.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anywho. Elliot and Olivia bring Peyton in and walk her through the bullpen where Laura is sitting with Munch and Finn. Peyton asks what she's doing there, and then it's redirected into an interrogation room. Laura asks Munch and Finn if she did okay and comments that Peyton looked crazy. Craig interviews Peyton and asks how the jewelry got into the cigar box. She says that she doesn't know and that she doesn't understand why Laura's in the squad room. Reagan says that she was essayed, possibly by the same person who essayed Peyton and killed Max. Reagan asks why she took out $10,000 the day of the attack. She says she hired a PI, and how did she think, or how did he think she found out about Laura? Munch and Finn go to question the PI and ask if he killed Max. He says no. They talk for a while and go on their way with the file on Max. Munch is looking through the photos and spots a man seen eyeing Max in two pictures in two different locations. Elliot and Olivia ask Lara if she knows the man. In the photos, she says it's Vincent, who lives in the apartment below hers, and that he's harmless. Ellie and Olivia go to talk to Vincent, who has a cat. When asked if they can ask a few questions, Vincent says no and closes the door in their faces. Ellie and Olivia, Munchman, and Cragen connect the dots. Yomp has to be on a piece of merch.
Just yomp.
Yes. They connect the dots, but wonder if Vincent and Lara had a relationship. Says that even a casual talk in the hallway kind of relationship could equal a committed relationship in his mind. And they've seen it before in Stalkers. He sees Max making house calls and feels wronged. The one person that connects all of them is the cat. But it's circumstantial, says Alex, because New York doesn't have cat DNA technology yet.
No cat DNA.
No, the cat DNA is there. It's the technology that's not there.
Right, right. Silly.
Elliot, Munch, and Finn go to Vincent's apartment, presumably with a warrant, and are looking for evidence and the cat. Finn says he doesn't see the cat. Munch says it doesn't mean. Sorry. Laughing because I know what line is coming up and it's gonna make me laugh even harder.
Oh. Ah.
Okay.
Make it mess.
Munch says it doesn't mean anything, that they're sneaky creatures. So Finn walks over to the couch and says
why is it so funny?
He says, here, pussy, pussy, pussy. Munch is like, seriously? Come on. And then he finds the cat under the, like, on a shelf under a table thing. And calls her a demonic little furball.
You hear that, Dexter? From now on. Ah.
Ellie and Olivia go to talk to Lara, who has fresh bruises. Olivia says they know what's going on. And that Vincent follows her and is very possessive. She says they don't think Lara is safe there, asks if she has anywhere else she can go. Lara says no, she doesn't have anyone. Olivia offers to take her to a women's shelter, and Lara agrees. Alex and Olivia talk to the zoological geneticist to see if they can definitively say that the cat hairs came from Vincent's cat. He confirms. Alex tells Olivia to pick up Vincent, and then she'll bootstrap a warrant. Ellie and Olivia go to pick up Vincent, but just as they're about at his apartment, they hear a gunshot. Olivia pushes the door open to see Vincent on the floor dead, and Lara standing over him, holding a gun. They get the gun away from Lara and arrest her. She says she had to kill Vincent because he wouldn't stop. My words are slurring together. I'm sorry, everyone.
It's all good.
Elliot and Olivia interrogate Lara, who recounts her relationship with Vincent. The jealousy and the violence, the accusations of cheating, even though they were just friends. The cycle of violence, him apologizing, saying it'll never happen again, until it did. Olivia asks if they were together when she started seeing Max. She says he punished her for 2 years of infidelity she never committed. She was thankful when she found Max. She said Max was ready to leave Peyton and that they were going to get a place together. Vincent came over the night Max was killed and said they could be together again. Max was dead. Olivia says that she doesn't understand why she went back to the apartment. She was at the shelter. She was safe. Lara said that he found her at the shelter and forced her back to the apartment where he started to essay her again. She got to the gun and shot him. Wong says it's classic battered women syndrome. But it's not clear cut if it's self-defense because she killed the man who killed her lover. It could look like revenge. If she had killed Vincent in her apartment during the essay, they wouldn't be having this conversation. Alex tells Cragen to make a case to put Vincent away for life if he wasn't dead. Munch and Finn go to Vincent's apartment to search for anything that could put him away if he were still alive. Munch finds the tape, commercial jacket, homemade video.
Munch and the homemade videos.
Yes.
I swear.
Lara goes to Alex's office to sign her statement, and Alex shows her the video where she's trying to convince Vincent to kill Peyton. She says, if not for her, for the $15,000. She says, none of this was her idea, it was Max's. Olivia asks why she staged her own essay. She says she didn't. Once Vincent killed Max, he owned her. Peyton asked how Max could be with someone like that. This is in a different scene. They're at Peyton's apartment now. Peyton asked how Max could be with someone like that. Said he broke it off after Peyton found out, and that's why Lara had him killed. Olivia says that Max set the whole thing up. Peyton asked why he'd set up his own death. Elliot says that he wasn't supposed to die, she was. And we Dick Wolf.
That's such a crazy one.
Yeah.
Lots happening. While Coley is shuffling their cards, I just want to remind you all that we are on social media, on Instagram at SVU Coven. We post there as frequently as our mental health will allow. We also have a free Discord server, free to join. The link is in our Instagram bio. We're trying to build the coven over there and create a little community. So it would be really cool if you joined, but you don't have to.
Yes.
If social media is not your thing, Discord, Instagram, it's not a medium that speaks to you. You can always email us at svucoven@gmail.com. Chloe does check the email, so somebody is reading them, and one of us will respond as soon as we can. We love hearing from you guys. We've gotten some sweet emails just to, like, talk to us before, and we loved that. So svucoven@gmail.com. Likewise, if you're interested in sponsoring the show, being a guest on the show, working with us in any capacity, email is also the best way to do that.
So, I had a jumper.
Woohoo!
And this one is not gonna...
Strength,
yeah. But I want to show the artwork because it's really cool.
Yeah. There's like a whale on it.
There's an orca whale, a lion.
That's relevant.
And a mermaid.
Pretty.
And not just a mermaid, a black mermaid, which is also relevant.
So relevant. And we've got Leo season, leaving Cancer season.
This card, man.
Yeah.
It's like, bam.
The cards never lie.
No. Though. I don't know exactly how this card relates specifically to this episode.
We're going to find out.
But, you know what? Strength, courage, persuasion, influence, and compassion are the highlights of this card. So, I think, like, I don't see how it relates to this episode. Because there's not even, like, a Olivia being strong moment in this episode that I could relate it to. She's always strong, but, like...
Maybe not the episode as the pertinent thing, but a lot of what we've been talking about with the strikes and everything that's going on with SAG-AFTRA and stuff requires a lot of strength and requires a lot of compassion. So I think it all kind of connects with our self-love affirmation as well.
Yeah. That exactly. My brain is not working.
Guys, it is 7:30 on a Friday. Can
it
you tell how dark it is
on Friday? Yeah.
Big sleepy.
7:30 on a Friday. My voice is, my speech is slurring. There we go.
Well, that's our show.
That's our show. Oh, wait. We need to, this is your second episode of reminder to rate, review, and subscribe and comment. Rating and subscribing are the most important things. They tell the algorithm that you like us, and nice light.
I thought I would show up.
They tell the algorithm that you like us and will recommend us to other people who will hopefully listen and like us as well and do the same thing, and the cycle continues. Rating is just very nice. No, reviewing is just very nice. I got it down perfect the first time.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault. Reviewing is just really nice. We lost all the reviews when we switched podcast hosts. We miss them. We will read them out on the show when we get new ones. Good, bad, or indifferent. We appreciate the energy exchange. And commenting is something new because we're on YouTube now. We will read out YouTube comments. Good, bad, or indifferent. We appreciate the energy exchange there, and make sure to like us on YouTube and subscribe to us on YouTube.
Yeah. Donate on Ko-fi if you have the means. It goes straight back into the show, but yes, not at all required. But we do appreciate the energy exchange. Yeah, I think that's our show then.
That is our show.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I just got a really bad pain in, like, my scapula area, and I had to, like, crack it, and it was painful.
I'm sorry. All right, well, I love you, and I'll talk to you soon.
I love you, too. We'll talk to you soon.
Blessed be.
Blessed be.